You're listening to Money Making Mothers with Carla Edwards, where we discuss the highs and lows of being a working parent, how to master the art of spinning plates, and to remind ourselves that just because you became a mother does not mean your dreams no longer exist. You can have it all.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I was joined by the incredible Jenny Knighton, who is the CEO of the Nutcracker Agency. She's grown this business from strength to strength whilst raising two daughters, and I for one took so much from this episode. She gives so much sound advice about prioritising time, living in the moment, and making sure you just go for your dreams. I hope you all take from it as much as I did.
Hi, I'm Jenny Knighting, founder and CEO of Nutcracker Agency. I'm also a very proud mother of two children, Isabel, who's 13, and Amelie, who's 10.
So thank you for joining me on today's episode. I want to know, what is the Nutcracker Agency and how was it started? How did it become what it is today?
So I'd had quite a long, successful commercial career beforehand, where I was commercial leads for lots of different sized businesses, from kind of startups to more established businesses. And I always loved that kind of disruptive role where it was tough. Like, I've never liked the easy option for some bizarre reason. I don't know what it says about myself, but it was like kind of having a challenge. And when my youngest daughter was four, so I got a call from the school, and there was a problem with one of her child, so it was with her childcare. I had a very stressful job where I was gearing up to take a very, very, very senior lead on. I was already sales and marketing director. And all these things happened at once. And I went to an agency where I sat opposite someone really uninspiring. I got on the tube and just had this kind of light bulb moment of, I'm just going to do it myself. And so I resigned on the tube and sent the...
Did you?
Yeah, I sent the resignation email. Obviously, didn't send till I got to the top.
I was going to say, you won't have had any connection down there.
Yeah, and then as I was going up the escalators and I was thinking about it, I was thought, no, that's what I'm going to do. And then that was on the Thursday. And then by the Monday, I'd registered the business domain, told my boss I was definitely resigning. Obviously, wasn't over the moon because we'd about to take over this very senior role. And Nutcracker was founded. So Nutcracker is a very successful sales and marketing agency. We've won lots of awards. The reason why it's so successful is because it does things differently. It markets products and services really thinking about the commercial purpose. So what I mean by that is a lot of marketing is kind of feels a little bit fluffy, a little bit, you know, is it successful? Is it not successful? At Nutcracker, it's very measured. So if we introduce some form of marketing, we make sure we get results. And what we really do is build stories for people and build communities so their businesses can grow, because I'm very passionate about business growth. So it's a full service sales and marketing agency.
So who's involved in it then? Have you got any staff or is it just you?
No, so there's 15 people.
15?
Yes.
Quite.
Yeah. So there's 15 Nutcrackers growing all the time. We've got three new Nutcrackers starting in March, actually, because we're going through another growth phase. It's a really good team. It's a mix of different ages, it's actually very female dominated. It's a very female heavy team. When I started Nutcracker, I started it because I wanted to create an environment where women that just had to stop out of their careers through having children had the opportunity to stop back in, but without having to think about leaving the house at the crack of dawn and getting like something which wasn't perhaps manageable with their own personal circumstance. Yeah. So when I founded for the first couple of, the first few years, it was very much, the team were very much part-time working mums. I realised that wasn't sustainable for, you know, to keep growing the business.
Yeah.
So I had to rework my business model. And now, obviously there's a lot of kind of young full-time people in, but it's a real mixture of different ages. But yeah, it's 80% women, so there's a lot of female.
And does it work? Do you find it works then? So when you have took on people who've got mothers, people who are mothers, have they been able to still continue with their career even though they've got children?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you have children, I think you also develop lots of new skills. skills, a lot of women do, you know, in terms of being more patient, more tolerant, more able to multitask. You know, you have to be able to dip in and out of lots of different things. And so I think those kinds of attributes, those kind of attributes actually make people extremely good as team members. And so certainly, you know, the women on my team, of which they've been there a long time, work extremely hard and achieve an awful lot in the days they work. I think it's that question, it's possible. I mean, I think it's important that women can still feel fulfilled in their own dreams as well as, you know, obviously their own parental dreams.
So would you say your dreams being fulfilled then with Nutcracker?
No, I've got a lot more dreams.
So what is the dream then? Where do you want it to go?
So from a work capacity, I wanted to start a business that was successful, that employs people, that creates a good environment for them to grow and flourish. And I've done that. So that from that perspective, I've achieved that. And it's, you know, it's won lots of awards. It's very successful. So that's good. But what I want to do is build up an exit. I want to sell it. I want to go through the whole process from idea through to building, through to exiting. So I want the whole thing. And then I want the next thing. So I don't know. I'll have a new dream then.
What, because you don't like anything being easy?
Yeah.
Another challenge.
Yeah.
Well, how is it?
Well, maybe I'll surprise myself. Maybe at the end I'll just be baking cakes all the time and just loving it and just stuffing it in my face.
Can you actually imagine doing that though? Like sometimes I think about that sometimes. Like I wonder if I could do this for 3 years and then stop, what would happen? And I think I'd be bored after about a week. Probably.
I think I've got an unusually high energy level. Like before I went back to work after my second, my sister had come round and like my house was immaculate because I was so much energy, I was forever cleaning it. And she was going to step a foot in the kitchen. I was like, no, the floor. She was just like, you're right. I was like, just stop. And then I was just like, you know, here's my homemade everything. And she was like, honey, do you think we need to come back to work? I was like, yeah, perhaps I do. Perhaps I need this energy to go somewhere else. Otherwise my poor kids had to be like, no, don't do anything. Or they'd be climbing Everest by the time they were five while speaking Mandarin. Can you imagine? They'd be like, just come away.
Yeah, please stop. Do you know, I think that everything you've just said there, and other people listening can't see, but when it goes on YouTube, everything you've just said about flourishing and going from one to the other, it's exactly what that picture says behind you. Like when I've seen it, that's what it says to me in a visual way. But in COVID, how has it affected the business? Has it at all, or is it not been a challenge?
So the first, you know, 2 weeks after lockdown was announced, it was brutal. Nutcracker lost 62% revenue, and the outgoings are very high. We didn't lose it from terms of clients leaving Nutcracker. They immediately halted or halved or stopped budget. And that's something I'd never experienced before in my career at all, especially not when the buck stops with me and I've got responsibility to people who work for me. I mean, Nutcracker's run well, so it was fine, but it was a shock. And I had two routes I could go down. I could have furloughed most of the staff and I could have thought, well, we'll just ride this out. And I just thought, no, I'm not going to do that. We're going to grow. So I kept everyone in play apart from a couple of people and we just marketed Nutcracker properly. And through the first lockdown, we closed 8 new clients. And since then, we've continued on the growth journey. So February saw our biggest sales month in our history, and we're growing again. So I think you can either do two things when the chips are down. You can either kind of, you know, sit on the sofa and feel despondent, or you can think, no, this is not happening. You know, this is gonna flourish. Different if it's an events business, different if it's depends on footfall. Yeah. My heart goes out to those people because that is just absolutely soul destroying.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do, is there?
Nothing they can do. That's entirely different. But for me, what Nutcracker does best is builds and grows businesses. So what do people need when there's a pandemic? They need to market their business. You know, so we capitalized on that and made sure that people knew where to find us. So we could, yeah, it's been a very successful period for us. I think some of that is also that even though I've got my two daughters at home with me and my husband works away from the house, so it has just been me at home with them. I am actually much more productive because I'm not traveling for meetings. I've not got lots of interruptions. So actually I think me having that focus has enabled me to focus on stabilizing and growing the business, which in an office environment, I do find much harder because obviously I'm CEO and I've got a lot of demands throughout the day.
Yeah, it is. And don't get me wrong, the struggle of kids being at home while you're working is hard, but like I said to you before we started, I'll never go back again to how it used to be, because I've just been so much more productive. Because
to be honest, I haven't had such a bad time, because with my children, like both of them, my eldest, who's 13, has been incredibly self-sufficient because her school has been excellent. So she's had proper structured lessons throughout every single day. And my dad has been on hand on Skype for my youngest, where he's taught her math and science. But he's done it every single day. So he's prepared the lessons, he's done it. My dad's amazing. Also, he's my mum, but you know, like he's a proper legend. He's incredible, my dad.
What did he do before?
He had a really interesting job. He started off as a research technician at St. Thomas's, but then he took a long career break to bring me and my sister up. And then when we got to an age where we were starting secondary school, he then went back and had a really interesting role where he brought in kind of the first CRM system, as you know it, into the hospital. He did a lot of research into bringing in the first laser.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And he also managed like a big financial trust. So he's a very diverse, interesting person. But ultimately, he's just a very, very caring family man, you know. And he immediately put like me, I would say it was his granddaughter, but it was firmly his daughter, going, "Dad, I'm going to break down." And he said, "It's fine, I'll do it." But that was very lucky, because not only did it mean that my youngest was getting the time and attention that she needed to learn, it also meant that my interaction with my children could still be positive, because it wasn't me screaming and shouting at them to study. It was, how are you feeling? Are you okay? Make sure you eat this nice food. That freed me up to actually be able to manage their mental health rather than worrying about their education, which is so much more fortunate than so many people have experienced. I completely get that. So I was very fortunate.
You are very, very lucky there, because I'm dying to laugh when I think of it. It's not funny, but the amount of memes and, you know, marketing things that have gone out where they're like, this one apple plus one apple equals two apples. And then they go, right? And then my kid goes, three. And the mum's like, no, the apple is one. This apple is two. And you're like, it's so...
I also think it's harder when they're younger, because, you know, there's a difference in my 10-year-old's, my 13-year-old's ability to be, obviously, to learn by themselves. Of course, 10's really young. But imagine a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. Like, there's different ages. You know, my children are at an age where, thanks to my dad's, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's all like skipping through butterflies, like we've had our moments.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's been a very, you know, we've been a little close unit of three when my husband's at work and not around, and it's actually worked really well. So yeah, I can't complain really. I've been very lucky.
So if that hasn't been as bad as it could have been, what would you say has been the biggest challenge for Nutcracker?
What, in the last year?
No, ever. Since starting, what's been, since you've had the children, what would you say has been the biggest struggle for you in terms of career?
So I think from a personal perspective, I've had to develop a much thicker skin around other people's judgments of me. I found that very difficult. From a professional perspective, I've had to really challenge myself in how I give feedback and how I develop people, because I've got big ambition and Nutcracker's never been a lifestyle business for me. I've worked my absolute backside off for the last 7 years, and it's always been because I want to build something meaningful. Yeah. And that's what my dream is. So from a professional perspective, the hardest thing has been having to force myself to up my game all the time so that I get better and better and I'm more able to develop other people and grow Nutcracker and change a culture at Nutcracker at each stage of growth. Personally, it's been, you know, the sniping and commenting from people who do seem to have an issue with women who are perceived to be successful. And success is obviously multifaceted, you know, there's lots of different aspects of success, but often I think women see success just in terms of kind of career, which is bizarre really, because it's only one element of what makes people successful.
what just to dive into that a little bit more, what do you mean in terms of like sniping and negativity towards the success of the business?
Well, I think becoming a parent is difficult, like affects people in lots of different ways. And I think for some women, it can affect their confidence quite badly. For others, it can just make them feel unfulfilled, and others are really happy. Like, I think it affects people in so many different ways. But I think for women that perhaps are unfulfilled or are finding it difficult, I think if other people look like they're, you know, just absolutely owning it, I think that can just make them feel quite jealous and resentful. And I get that and understand that. But I think what people forget is that everybody, no matter what they're going through, has their challenges. So for example, the last year, yes, I've been very lucky with my dad. Yes, Nutcracker's grown, but it's done that and my children are happy, my business has grown because I've worked a crazy amount of days. I've sacrificed my own sleep, my own wellbeing, my own hobbies to prioritize my children and my business. So people don't see what goes on behind the scenes to enable that outcome. And I think that's what I think, but equally, I think it's important. It doesn't just become a competition of who can moan the most, of who's the most tired, who's the most stressed. And I think that's what a lot of women like to do. It's like, well, my life is worse because of this, or my life is worse because of that. And I kind of find that kind of negativity quite draining and not something I would like to opt into.
Yeah, because it's not going to get you anywhere either way, is it? If you're moaning, not boring. Yeah, you can put it into something more positive and try and change the situation that you're in. Nobody is stuck forever in that position. There's always a way out and there's a way to change it.
And I think people's fear holds them back a lot, fear of failure or fear of doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. And it is hard. I think like people, it takes a lot to have the balls to say, I'm going to do this. It does. It takes more than people realize, and it can be really scary. And I think sometimes, like you just said, people looking in from the outside go, oh, well, that they've just done it so easily. Well, you haven't seen the hours that have been worked. You haven't seen the sacrifices that have gone into that and the chances that were took. But it just sort of gets thrown out as if it's so easily done, and it definitely isn't easily done. And
yeah, it isn't. And I think obviously I've been in a senior role for lots of years before Nutcracker, but with the buck stopping with me, you know, and the size of the business over the years, if I hadn't have done the work I put into it, if I hadn't have done what I did, the business wouldn't exist. You know, so it's as simple as that. You know, so I think, but then my children are, it's not like I'm just in my career and I've got a nanny bringing up my kids. And there's nothing wrong with that for women out there who do that. But for me, being a mum is really important. So I also put an awful lot of energy into my kids. I don't really like the word kids, my children. And and to do that means that something's got to give, because there are only so many amount of hours in a day. There is only so much yourself. But at the end of the day, it boils down to what you want out of life, doesn't it? And what you want to get, what is going to fulfill you.
And what you've got to prioritise and sacrifice in between, which is hard. How do you, because it sounds like it's very structured. I'm not saying that you've got that structure easily. It's obviously been through practice and the years of, you've built up. How have you managed to structure so that you do have, you know, the time for the business, the time for the children? How have you got to that? How do you do that?
It's not always perfect. I mean, my girls are extremely understanding and they're very proud of what I do. So they're very understanding if I need to work, and they get what I'm trying to achieve. So I think that's very lucky in itself. In terms of structure, I just have to maximise all the time of the day. Like if I'm particularly busy at work, I will start work at 5:30. Again, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it's what I've sometimes need to do. I will have done, I would have put some washing on. I will have cooked my kids breakfast. I would have cleared. I would have packed the school stuff. And then I will be at my desk at 8:30. Like that's not pleasurable, but I'm more than happy to do it because I've got this bigger dream. So I think it's about how much do you want something. And I'm not saying everyone has to get up at 5:30 to run a business. And I don't get up at 5:30 every day, but sometimes you've only got a certain amount of hours in a day and you've got a lot to achieve. You sometimes have to just, you know, compromise somewhere.
Yeah. And how does your husband, does your husband work away?
Yeah.
So is he away a lot of the time?
Yeah, he is. So he works 6 days a week, sometimes 7, and he leaves early and gets back late. So yeah, he is away a lot. And that's fine. That's because he's doing what his dream is. So, you know, you have to kind of respect that. But that does mean that I've also been very privileged because I'm particularly close to my two girls, you know. So because of that, we've always been together. We've always, you know, so it's there's the swings and roundabouts. There's positives and there's negatives. And that's not to say my husband is never around. Of course he is, you know, like I'm not saying he's like some absent dad or husband. But yes, he isn't around in the sense of traditional, you know, someone leaving, getting back and they're around at the weekends in that sense of the word.
Yeah. And before, obviously, I know, you know, you're working at home, but before you were working at home, how did you manage to juggle, you know, building the business and being a mum? Like, what was the chat? Did your dad help?
In the holidays, my mum and dad helped, yes, a lot. And they did as soon as I started Nutcracker, my parents were really hands-on with holiday help, but they live quite a way away, so not so much in term times. So how I manage it is just by being really, really organised. I mean, that is the only way to manage it. I've always taken the girls to school unless I've got a meeting and then my husband does it. And invariably, I try and, you know, make sure they're home at a certain time so they've got time. Whether I'm spending time or not, they've got time to do homework and they've got time to have downtime.
Yeah.
But I think the only secret is just to be really, really organised. Honestly, there's no other answer for you. It's just
no. I've got a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 10-year-old. So during the lockdown and working from home has been a bit of a nightmare because you can't. You know, the 10-year-old's great, but he's got a laptop and he can do it. The 6-year-old, it's just, you know, it's impossible. You cannot leave a 6-year-old with some paper and say, read that and go. You just can't. And so Albert has been able to still be going to nursery, but I find it maybe when Albert's in school and they're all just in school and it's set amount of time and they go at 9 and you pick them up at 3, all 3 of them, that'll probably feel a lot more structured. I just constantly feel like I'm chasing my tail all the time. Albert's got to be at nursery, then I've got to pick Albert up, then Teddy's got to be here and Jackson's got to be here, and it's like it's a never-ending whirlwind.
It is like that. And you know, when the girls were younger, my mother-in-law picked up a day a week from school. I always made sure my husband picks up a day a week from school, then I tried to pick up a day, which meant they did after school care 2 days a week. But it meant they were at home a lot because of they were with either me, my husband, or my mother-in-law. And with that stage, because when I founded the business, my children, I'm trying to do quick maths in my head, I should know this, you know, but my children were like 4 and 7. And so, yes, it was like that. But it was about making sure that I was happy with where they were spending their time, because if they were happy and I were happy, my head was then free to focus on work.
Yeah.
So I could only do that if I felt they were happy. And again, I'm lucky, you know, that was a real mix of the grandparents. You know, my mother-in-law was very hands-on when they were little if I needed her in the weekdays. And my mum and dad are very hands-on in holidays. So,
yeah.
You know,
I've been lucky. I've
got a really good support network. And you know, I've always got the benefit that my sister lives close by. So if ever I had an emergency, I knew my sister, she's got her own children, but I knew she'd always make sure she was there.
Yeah.
So I think support network is really important. But I also think that sometimes to build something which you really want, it does take sacrifice and it's hard work. And, you know, even now I'll have a week where it's been particularly punishing and I'm just like, wow. And then I'll say to my dad, I can't do this. My dad will say, fine, opt out. Then what are you going to do? I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll beg my run then.
Yeah, because sometimes you do. I've been feeling like that this week. I don't know whether it's to do with the fact that normally if we were allowed to be on holiday, we would try and go away frequently, even if it's just for 2 or 3 nights, just so you're not in the same cycle. And I sat on Wednesday and I was like, it's been 6 months, which isn't a long time, but 6 months when you work and the way I work is a long time. It's a lot of hours. And I just felt like, oh, wow, I need a break. But because you can work from home and it's so easy, it's so hard to just not keep doing it, to just go back to it, to just carry on because you know that you can get more from it. And that's the part I struggle with, is learning to go, stop.
I'm not very good at that either, but I think that's where you have to take the small wins. So you have to take the moments in the day where you feel really happy. So whether that is, obviously I've got different age children to you, and it's very different when they're two. And it's different again when they're six. And I remember those years very well. But for my children, it might be the case of, you know, we do go for that walk, even if it's in with torches because it's pitch black, but and that's when we can go. You know, if they're having a particularly bad day, I do like making cakes. It does only take 5 minutes to quickly whiz up this really quick cupcake, shove them in the oven, in 15 minutes got hot cupcakes and a hot chocolate, and they feel like the world's a better place. Like, it does only take 10 minutes to go and grab skipping ropes and have a skipping rope competition. Like, I think that's where it's about grabbing those moments of time to feel lighthearted. Otherwise, the walls can close in quite quickly. And I don't need a lot. Like, someone said to me, I'll be happy in a skip. I didn't quite know how to take it at the time, but I think there's an element of truth in that. Like, I am quite easily pleased. So it doesn't take a lot for me to feel happy. And I think that, like, for example, this morning, I'm really trying to get the girls into thinking their alarms are going to go off a lot earlier than they used to. And my youngest woke up earlier. We only had 25 minutes, but I said, right, quickly jump in the car. And we went in the sunshine, in the woods for 15 minutes, and we did stupid skipping stuff. And we came back, and the day carried on. Now, that was quite early, and I don't do that every day. Well, I do sometimes by myself, but not with her. But she came back really happy, and it was a lovely moment. Now, that then sees you through the day, because you've had a lovely moment, you've had a lovely chat, you've heard about what's going on with Roblox, whatever it is they're interested in. And, you know, it's nice. So I think that you can take those moments without it all being rolled into one, whether that's a, you know, it might not be a half an hour bath with candles, but even if it's a 6 minutes bath with bubbles, that's still nice. You know, yeah. you can take those moments and actually celebrate those moments and think, oh, that was nice. And I think you have to train your brain not to feel sorry for yourself, because it's quite easy to feel sorry for yourself when you've worked a ridiculous amount of time. You've then just got chores to do. Like, I work with a lot of young people who, when they finish, that's it. They just got themselves, and that's fine. I was that age too. Like, I was there too. But obviously, your day as a mum doesn't finish then. Your day almost starts then. And it's quite easy then to feel a bit like, really relate to Cinderella right now. But in fact, when we did go to the cinema with a new Cinderella, my youngest did go when she was in looking really awful in the fireplace. Look, mummy, it's you. And everyone laughed in the cinema. I didn't quite have to take that. But I think it's very easy to kind of spiral into that kind of negative mindset of, gosh, this is really hard work and I'm tired. But equally, you can cut through that moment and remind yourself of kind of gratitude and positives. And yes, you know, young children are demanding, but equally, nothing's as nice as when that little chubby hands go around you and says, I love you, mummy. Like, there's the wins everywhere, and I think it's about celebrating the wins.
No, I love that. I love the, like, capture the moment, because you're right, it doesn't always, like, that's honestly what I've been thinking this morning. I'm gonna have to take a full week off and spend loads of time, because I feel like I've done nothing but work. But really, you're right, if I take an hour on the morning and do something that I wouldn't normally do, that would probably
be what they remember. You know, if you've got paints and like piece of paper and doing paints batters in the garden, and it's 20 minutes, it's cleared up, they won't remember it's 20 minutes. They'll remember they did amazing painting in the garden.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always channeling positive mindset. My girls are probably sick of it, but they'll sometimes channel it back at me. And I was had a hard week. I was really feeling it, but I really got this obsession at the moment where I've got to get them walking for their mental health. And so they're leaving the house. So I've tried really hard to get them out. Sometimes I don't always succeed, but I've tried. And there was one time where I was really feeling it, and we went for a walk. And for the most part, it was nice. But at the end, you know, you know what it's like with families. One of them it all hadn't quite been this beautiful harmony that I'd planned.
Yeah.
The car a little bit grumpy, and my elder said to me, it's really negative, mummy, because actually we just had a really lovely time for most of it. It was only a tiny bit at the end, and it was a good reminder that actually we had a lovely time, and that was great, and that's fine. And I think, you know, you feeling guilty, well, one thing that I've noticed with my children who got older is that I've had to really separate my need from theirs. I feel like they need me to be all over them doing stuff, but actually what they need is their own space to grow as people and to talk to their friends and to do what they want to do. And they don't necessarily need me standing over them all the time, but they do need me to be there to listen to them when they need to talk. They do need me to make sure that they're exercising and sleeping and looking after themselves. So there's different things they need from me.
Yeah.
And I think I've found being a parent is that it's all different phases. Like, you know, with young children, when you're juggling work, it's difficult, you know, and I did have a lot of people that helped me, but I was also extremely hands-on. So I might have had people that helped me, but I was always present, you know, I was always helping them. And it might well be that with my youngest, I would sit and do painting in the garden. And then I would set her up with a film, get her all cozy, you know, with Winnie the Pooh or something. And then I'd go off and do something, come back and then get her doing an activity again. So I think you can do stuff where you're making sure that their needs are met, but you're not being a helicopter mother where it's like you're staring at them for every single hour of the day to feel that you're doing a good job. I think there is a balance.
Yeah. How have you got all of this mindset? Like, how do you stay in this positive mindset? Because it's very, very good.
Well, I just think I don't like feeling miserable. I mean, I don't know. Like, if I think I'm cold in the winter, I think, well, yeah, but think about someone homeless. Like, I don't know. I just always think there's someone worse off than you. And for the most part, most of us are very blessed, but we take it for granted, you know. And, you know, like, yeah, my husband might work from home, but he's also, I know he really loves me and the girls, everything he's doing is for us. Like, I could be resentful of him, or I could just accept that that's where he's at in his life and that's fine. And I think my mindset comes from, I just find negativity very draining, and I don't like to sit and bitch and moan because it just brings me down. And I actually like just to feel like the world's a great place. Like, when I hear too much negativity, it actually just makes me feel quite depressed. Just, you know, I don't like it.
Yeah, it sucks the life out of you, doesn't it?
It does. And I think that when you're surrounded by people who like to hone in on the negative and then, you know, really fixate on it, you don't leave that chat feeling uplifted. You leave that chat thinking, God, my life really is awful. Oh, my God. Yeah. And you think, oh, yeah, my husband's now, everything's awful. Like, oh, my God. Whereas, what's the good in that? Like, you just feel terrible. There's no good in that at all. Whereas you need people that lift you up and kind of go, like you at the moment, you're feeling overwhelmed. Yeah, but you're clearly doing a great job. Like, your kids presumably know they're loved. Like, you are doing well with your career, you're providing, you're being a great role model. Like, there's so many positives that, like, you've got through lockdown with three children intact. I mean, that's
all alive and still okay.
Quite frankly, that is worth celebrating on its own.
No, just a fact, like, I'm all into positivity and I constantly try. I've literally just started a book, a audio book yesterday, because I think over the last month, because it's been so busy, I've forgot about that connection with making sure that I'm staying positive, I'm staying focused. And I like to use, you know, like, I find books really helpful and keep me on track, and watching things and meditating just to ground myself again. Is there anything like that you use, or is it literally just you've just naturally always been like that?
It's been a particularly busy period of time, so I haven't necessarily had the time I would want. But I think when I get like that, I just try and remind myself to live in the moment, because when you get overwhelmed, it's, and I've got a thing to do list in my head every second of every day. You know, like, I've got to remember so much to do with my family life as well as my professional life. And it's full on. Like, I'm not going to lie, my life is busy. But at the same time, I really try not to think, and I've got to do that, because then you're not living in the now. So I really do try and center myself. And, like, for example, if you're speaking to someone, I try and just speak to that person, not think about anything else I've got to do. If I've got to do, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, but the girls want to tell me something, it can be really hard, because I can hear all my pinging of my ear, like, I can feel really overwhelmed, but I just try and think, don't be so ridiculous. I focus, and actually then, I just think it's trying to live in the moment, and that can make everything feel so much more achievable. Because also, if, you know, for some women out there, you know, they might be overwhelmed because they're just finding life overwhelming. They might not be working. They may just, you know, they may be at home with the children, but that in itself can be very overwhelming. And they might just feel like, actually, I can't actually clear up that room for it to get messy again. That might be the final straw for them just feeling awful. And I think the only way to deal with that is to leave the environment, to go for a muddy walk, to do something different, and to come back and change, and then look at it with fresh eyes and remind yourself that actually your family are okay, you're okay, and that's actually what matters. Not whether, don't get me wrong, my house is tidy, I can't stand mess, but it doesn't matter whether or not, you know, your floor is immaculate or not. So I think it's always about balancing yourself out and balancing out that negativity and stopping that slide. So I do try and live in the moment. When I've got more free time, I love reading, and I like just watching escapism you know, things on the television or films or whatever. But for me, probably the biggest way, the best way I can relax is to be outside with my children. So that's what I enjoy most.
And do you do, obviously, everything that your attitude with the children, is that exactly the same at work? So with your staff and things, is that exactly the same?
I think my approach to my team is to see them as people and to understand what makes them tick and to understand what's made them the people they are, as to what their difficulties have been in their lives, what their positives have been, as to what's their triggers. And if you understand that, then it's much easier to manage people and get the best out of people, because you understand that they might feel funny about speaking in public because they were laughed at when they were six. Well, then you can coach them over that. So I think to manage people properly, you've got to really understand them. I also really ingrain in people that mistakes are good, not stupid mistakes, that's just annoying. But if you're making a mistake because you're learning, that's fine, because you can get better at your job, better at your job. So at Nutcracker, it's a culture of constructive feedback is a really positive thing. It's not criticism. It's actually helping you grow as a person. And I think that enables people to feel like anything's possible. And so as a result, you know, people fast track at Nutcracker much quicker than other organizations, because they're put in positions of responsibility and they're allowed to see if they can do it. I think positivity is a really important part of Nutcracker's culture. Feeling like you can do things and you can achieve things is important. So yeah, it does go into work.
That's amazing, because then you're giving people the opportunity to learn how to grow, and sometimes you have to make the mistakes to know how to not do it again. How do you know if it's right or wrong if you haven't made the mistake in the first place?
Exactly. But also, if you're going to employ somebody, you have, and you genuinely think they're the right person for that job, you have to give them the freedom to prove they are, you know. And you've got to believe that. Otherwise, you could just become a control freak that doesn't allow anyone to achieve anything.
No, it sounds like you've running it very, very, not, I'm not going to say very well, because obviously it is going very well, but in a nice atmosphere that allows people to still grow themselves as well as growing the business, like to personally become
better.
It's a
really good environment. I mean, people say it's more like a little family than it is a business. And it is like that, because everyone's very supportive of each other. But with the same, not in a sleepy way, and quite a dynamic, exciting way, because everyone really wants it to achieve. I mean, I'm absolutely humbled by how my team have worked since Christmas. Like, to say they've gone the extra mile doesn't even do it justice. Like, it's phenomenal what they've achieved. And that is because they are committed to Nutcracker and me, but it's also because of their own self-worth and their self-drive to want to absolutely fulfill their own potentials. And that's what I find exciting, is that they're getting a kick from how great they're doing.
Yeah, and that's amazing, that's something you've built. Yeah, it's incredible. No, it's amazing. It must be such a good feeling to see that people want it to do well.
I don't always get it right, you know, and I'm sure I'll make more mistakes, but I think you've got to keep trying things, otherwise you just stagnate and you stand still. And I think it's funny actually talking about positivity, because I know that's what you were interested in. I had this thing where I'm not particularly good at following instructions. Like, if I get an instruction sheet, I'm just like, I just don't like it. I don't actually know where it comes from. I should work that out, shouldn't I? So I can coach myself. But anyway, I had to get a new printer, and it needed installing. And that's the kind of thing where I'd normally kind of be like, I can't do this. Yeah. And anyway, my eldest daughter, we went upstairs, and Isabel said to me, it's funny when your children say your own words back to you. She was just like, Mummy, if you think you can, you can. And I was just like, you're absolutely right. You're right. I can. And we installed the printer, and we were like dancing around the room with happiness because I managed to do it. But I think there's lots to be said for that. You know, like, if you think you can do something, more often than not, you can. It's, you tell yourself you can't, and then of course you can't. And I do try, and if I'm finding something particularly difficult or overwhelming, I do try and give myself a talking to and say, for goodness sake, Jenny, of course you can do it. Come on. And, you know, do it. You've just got to do things, haven't you?
Yeah. Just crack on with it.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Well, honestly, thank you so much for today. I've took a hell of a lot from it. I'm sure everybody else listening will do as well. Where can people find you in terms of like social media and the business and things?
So the business is nutcrackeragency.com. And for any of your listeners looking out there, you've got a dream, my biggest advice to you is just do it. If I can help or give advice or give some support in the way, I would love to. You can find Nutcracker Agency on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Me personally, I'm on LinkedIn, Jenny Knighting, Twitter, Jenny Knighting. my email address is jenny.knighting@nutcrackeragency.com.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your time, dear Jenny. I've really enjoyed it, honestly.
Thanks for having me. It's lovely to meet you.
You have been listening to the Money Making Mothers podcast with Carla Edwards. If you have enjoyed the show, then leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Make sure to tune in next time, and don't forget, you can have it all.